Bak. Suya en bezes aşamın hıbıs halvavız şal hejbena nefes. We will move on to ha hejben ha asiri, the 10th hejben. If someone remembers, if last week we ended off with a point to address, please remind me. If you don't remember, don't feel bad because I don't either. Okay. So we're continuing. We had a very long and profound discussion about tefillah. Well, let's bring ourselves back into the broader context. And that is the Chavis HaVavis is introducing us to. He wants us to be living a life. We're getting back to the concept of Cheshbon HaNefesh. And that is the Chavis HaVavis wants us to be living a life of constant conscious conscientiousness, meaning to always be focused on perspectives that will be both keeping us in the right place and moving us up and ahead. And he laid down for us 30 examples of points to focus on. And he tells us that if you study these 30 on a regular basis, you'll be in a very good place. While at the same time, we just note that he seems to be presenting these as examples. But yet, these examples can keep us busy endlessly. So let's see. Ha'asiri. Number 10 is, Cheshbon Adam im Nafshoi, for a person to be contemplating, Ashkofas HaBoyei al Niglehu v'Nistar, to be contemplating Hashem, the fact that Hashem is always focused on you. Let's get another chair here. No, Hashem is always focused on your outside and on your inside. I mean, he's watching what you're doing, but the added piece is that he's always watching what's going on inside you also. So whereas when we're dealing with people, we can always keep that to ourselves. But here, that's on the table too. That Hashem is seeing you, v'zoicher kol ma'asav, and keeping track of everything you do, u'ma she'oiver al libay min ha'machshavos ha'tovos, and how he is keeping track, also following your inner thoughts and feelings, the better ones and the worst ones. V'yeh mefached tamid mimen. Now, before I translate those words, this Chavis HaVavis starts with a tough tone, but you have to bear with it and see where he takes us with it. But he's trying to bring us to the Madrega that we call Yiras HaRoinimus, meaning to be in a constant state of awe, appreciating that at any given time you are the focus of Hashem's attention. And therefore, he says you should always be fearful of that. Now, this does, as we'll see, we have to put this out there right at the beginning, and then we'll see it work its way into perspective. This does not mean to be living in fear. It means to be living in awe. We'll get there. But let's let this unfold, because this will really connect us to, whereas it might initially sound like this turns life just into a very nervous reality, it can actually turn the experience of life into something much richer and fulfilling than we may naturally experience. And therefore, whenever you're home alone and you know somebody's showing up in another 3 minutes, you want to make sure you're presentable. So he says here, realizing that Hashem is always checking up on you. You want to make sure you're always presentable, both outside and in. Outside in terms of the things you're doing, but inside in terms of what does Hashem see going on inside my mind at heart and heart at any given time. V'yimashal b'zeh, and think of the mashal as follows: Elohayam hashkif Adam v'shem etnois of tavim. There, he's not even giving you a mashal of being in the presence of a king. He's giving you the mashal of being in the presence of another human being. When you're in the presence of another human being, there's always going to be a certain level of self-consciousness. Self-conscious, I don't mean in an extreme way, but you're conscious of what you're doing. You're not going to do strange things that you might do if you're just standing opposite a mirror by yourself. Okay? So, but the main point is that when there's somebody else in the area watching you, you're conscious of it. It's going to affect you. Let's just talk about the consciousness, right? So, would it make sense to do davar shu moyes adamahu, meaning you're not going to do something that that person is going to find either weird or disgusting just because you feel funny. You're very conscious. That's self-conscious, using the words in the most literal sense. Self-conscious, not as in shy, but just as in conscious of the fact that you are being watched right now. So, but Victor Miller used to say that we talk about a person being tzelem elokim. So he said there's a very chashuv way of utilizing another person's tzelem elokim for yourself, meaning as follows. Basically made this point. He said, when you're in a room by yourself, totally by yourself, you feel more relaxed and free than when you're in a room with one other person. Right? Again, we're not talking kings now. We're talking about just another person. Right? Mrs. Shvei is always two or three steps ahead of us. Okay? So, it's now, and Koshikin, if you know the person, let's say you work in a room, okay, you work at your desk that way, and there's someone else working at their desk that way, and you know that right now that person, for whatever reason, turned around and is looking at you like this, okay? So you're very conscious of that. So he says, what is it you're conscious of? Is it the person's eyes? Turn around and look back at the person, right? You see their eyes are focused on you. So is the eyes the issue? The eyes are not the issue. What's the issue? The issue is that we know that behind the eyes, there's an intelligence. You're being sized up, right? Even that, if not in a major way, but you're being sized up right now. So if you could tell yourself, the reason that I feel watched right now is not because there's a pair of flesh eyes on me, but because of the fact that there's an intelligence behind those eyes that's watching me. Now, if you could just take a step back and say, and you know what? Also, if we take the eyes away, there's an intelligence watching me. You can use the person as a stepping stone to experiencing being under Hashem's attention and scrutiny. The intelligence is there watching you, taking you in, getting impressions. But I want to round this out because this all sounds a little bit intimidating. And you know what? It should be if we're considering doing something wrong, it should be intimidating. But let's appreciate that this is not when Hashem is watching you, what is his disposition, so to speak, Kiviyachol, when he's watching you? Is it watching you as in like move, hands on hips or arms folded? Is it that kind of watching? Well, again, if you're paro, you're considering. Then yes, there might be a folded arms kind of situation. But usually Hashem is watching us with interest and with care, meaning he's watching as in, I want to make sure you're okay right now. He's also watching with interest. What do you want to be showing me now? And if you choose to do a mitzvah, right, Chayos talks about this, that the self-consciousness actually steps up, but not in a negative way. In a way of like, this is what's going on here now is very significant because I'm actually performing for Hashem, who's watching me with keen interest and is looking to get pride from what I'm doing. He's looking to get nachas ruach from what I'm doing. So it's it there. One moment. There's a certain sense of trepidation, but it's actually a trepidation that can be very elevated.
You have children and you're a parent, you're always watching them to see how they're doing, to get nachas from them, to see what they need help with. I mean, isn't that very similar?
Oh, so the truth is that yes, it is. Okay.
Because it can also be judgmental. You could also be looking at your kid to see, okay, does this kid do anything wrong?
So we have to appreciate with Hashem, it's watching with interest, with belief in you, and with a certain level of judgmentality. Meaning, Hashem is watching to see what are you doing. We do want to be conscious of the fact that we don't want to mess up in front of Hashem. But at the same time, that's not the dynamic. The dynamic is I'm watching because I'm expecting nachas. I want to see that nachas. But we want to take it a step up. We want to take it a step higher than that. And we'll think of it in the following way. Here's the mashal of how I think of that concept of Yiras HaRoimimus versus what we call Yiras HaEmes. Meaning when we talk about Yira, right, which Yira translates as fear. But Yira divides into two, there's two Yiras that we talk about. These Yiras HaEmes as in, I'm scared of getting punished. Now, we have to realize that Hashem is not out there to get us, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. We do have to have Yiras HaEmes, but Yiras HaEmes is not something that has to be the dynamic guiding us through the day. Meaning, Yiras HaEmes means like this. If you're a normal person and you're on a tiyul and you're on a mountaintop and there's a cliff, you know that the edge of a cliff is dangerous. So do you have to be, when you're on the mountaintop, do you have to be shaking the whole time? So don't go up. No, you just have to make sure you're keeping far away enough from the edge, right? You have to be scared of getting close to the edge. You have to appreciate that getting to the edge is dangerous and scary. But you don't have to be worried about that if you're just sensible enough to keep far enough away from the edge, right? So yes, you do need to be scared of getting close to that edge. But keep yourself away from the edge, and then that Yira turns into something different. It's what we call now is Yiras HaEmes, but we want to talk about Yiras HaRoimimus. That is more, the more apt translation of that word would be awe. Awe as in, I'll give you a, we'll give it a mashal in two layers, if you will. I remember once being at a bris by Rav Eliyashiv, very chosh of a moel there. It wasn't like the Yerushalmi Moyalim who were doing a Bris Baruch Yashiv every week. This was a Moyal from Beit Shemesh. And the baby's on Rav Eliyashiv's lap. And remember this Moyal, his hands were shaking slightly when he did the Bris. He was intimidated, right? Now, what was he intimidated from? If there would be a fist fight, this Moyal was in better shape. Right? That wasn't the problem, right? It was awe of the fact that he's an expert lawyer, but he had the top halachic authority and the top Talmud Chacham Gedolei watching him perform, and there was a certain awe in that. But we want to take it a step further in order to really connect to the dynamic of what it is, and think of it in the following way, because this is really the dynamic of Yerushalayim. Imagine a person who's been training, he's been in a choir for a while, but now he's been coming to realize, and his trainers have been coming to realize that he actually has great talent and he can become a star in his own right. And he's practicing and training toward his debut, his first public appearance in a very serious way. He's going to be on, I don't know where, some big concert hall with 10,000 people. Is there such a concert hall? I have to assume that there is. But whatever it is, he's going to be performing before thousands of people, and he's training months toward that. And finally, the big night comes, and he is backstage, and the show is scheduled to start at 8 o'clock, and it's 7:52, and he's right behind the curtains, and people are filing in, people are taking their seats. And now it's 7:56. And in another 4 minutes, the curtain is going to open. And he's standing there, he's standing in the backstage, or sitting at backstage with a very good friend of his. And his friend notices that his hands are slightly shaking, and he actually has a cold sweat. So his friend says to him, "Look, I see this is making you nervous. Maybe we can cancel it." Now, what will he say? He'd say, "No." He said, "Of course I'm shaking. This is a very, very there's a trepidation here, but this is a thrilling trepidation that I would never be mevater on. This is a trepidation. It's going to be the high moment of my life. I would never give up on this. Of course, it's intimidating. This is the dynamic of Yiras HaRenunos, that it's an appreciation of who we're performing in front of us and what the significance of that is. And yes.
Is Lahavim?
The word Roimambus is, yes, from the same Sheresh, it means the fear of the elevation, fear of the highness. Again, let's make it awe of the highness, right? Rather than you're scared of getting banged over the head. It's a totally different dynamic. So if we appreciate the fact that the one with the capital O, who controls not just Earth, but the whole Milky Way, and you appreciate a little bit quite how big that is, meaning think of all of Ramat Beit Shemesh, of one force controlling all of Ramat Beit Shemesh, but everything. Okay, that's pretty big. The Milky Way is bigger. Now, but sometimes you say the Milky Way is just like too much. Everything. It's just like saying the word everything. But the Milky Way used to say everything is nothing. You have to actually look at details and then try to expand it from there. And you appreciate this is also the one who's been maneuvering all of history since time beginning. This is the one who came into Mitzrayim and smashed the greatest empire in the world because they were picking on you. And he's the one who's watching me perform right now. There's an awe there, there's a trepidation there, but it's a rich trepidation. It makes every moment of life that much more rich, meaningful, fulfilling. So this is the dynamic of living with that tension, if you will, of Hashem's constant observation. Now, Kol Shekin, and certainly, so we started with consciousness of another person watching us, right? Now, Kol Shekin, if you go a step further and you say, that this is the one who created you. So how much more so do you have to feel bashful and self-conscious from him? To be careful not to do anything that defies him. And to show yourself as energetically doing what he wants. And showing him how you're trying to gain his favor, his love.
For me, the time is that he knows exactly what's going on. It isn't that I'm able to play act or whatever.
Oh,
That's the
that's the immensity of it. Ah, exactly. And this is what the Chovas HaLomos is driving us at. Yasher Koyach. This is what the Chovas HaLomos is driving us at. Since Hashem has that nachas from seeing that when he focuses on you, and like you said, he knows exactly what's going on. There's no play acting. That your goal is, he's watching me now. Let me see if I can make myself popular with him.
is there any time, like you said, he's focusing on now? Like, and they also, doesn't it say in the Torah, his eyes are always on Eretz Yisrael? So are there any time that he's not focusing on you where you can
Oh,
get away
good,
with
good, good,
something and
good.
all this?
So, right? That's what the Torah says. Do not serve idols in front of me. Meaning, when I'm not there watching, you're welcome to. But exactly.
He's
But
always
he's always
watching.
there. So, you know what? You know what? The truth is that it does get a little bit too much. Like, but when can I ever just like relax? Answer is, well, let's give two answers, and it's going to be along the lines that we often discuss. Really, the answer is never. Now, again, Hashem made us humans. And therefore, this is not about, Oh, 1 minute. Oh boy, that means that I'm really in bad shape. It's not what it's about. It's about setting a goal and setting an aspiration and realizing that Hashem wants us to progress as human beings, but on the contrary, the goal here, particularly when we're learning a sefer like this, and we're talking about standards of 1,000 years ago, it's about opening up the horizons, it's about expanding the horizons. It's about appreciating that that's right. Hashem realizes my limitations, and he's going to be getting nachas accordingly. But we want to show him how we appreciate this reality, and we want to make the most of it. The oid, and he goes further. Kimani we know. If you have an encounter with someone very prestigious, so of course he talks about kings, we have less experience with that, but let's say you're talking about a Gadol HaDor or some very, very important leader, or you just have a very, very stakey interview, okay? So you're going to make yourself as presentable as possible. You're going to try to look very good. You're going to try to present yourself very well. If you're going to meet a king or an important officer or a Gadol HaDor, and what is your concern? That they're watching you externally. That's all they can see. You can present yourself beautifully and inside really be wiping the floor with this person and figuring out all the good digs you're going to have afterwards when you get back home. Right? That's fine. As long as you can make play the act fine. But kefiza, I'm skipping, he brings a few psukim to this effect, but kefiza anu chayavim niskashet ba'avodas. So when we're presenting ourselves before Hashem, which as you just pointed out, when is that? Always. There's really two levels of it. I must say, there's two levels of it. There's always, and in particular, when you're actually engaging in, meaning when you're actually involved in a mitzvah or a tefillah, etc. So there are two layers of it. Whatever the case is, yes, essentially it's always. So, how much more so? Do we want to make ourselves presentable, pleasing? Both outside and inside, when it comes to Hashem, because he's watching us, you said, all the time, equally. Now, now, if when we were, let's say, meeting a king, king is really the best mashal, but again, the problem keeps being that we don't really have that dynamic now. So you have to think about the person who would be most significant for you to be meeting.
What about eight for some?
Oh, so you're raising an important question. We're talking now about Hashem watching you all the time. Now, at the same time, also, let's start from a more basic place. Where is Hashem?
Hello.
So I grew up on the song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is simply everywhere. That's right? But then you're told that the Shekhinah is at the Kohen. So what does that mean? Shekhinah is always at the Kohen. Isn't he everywhere all the time? So we have to appreciate that, yes, he's everywhere all the time. And yet, his presence, he sometimes manifests his presence more strongly, basically depending on, we can call it four different factors. There are times when he manifests himself more powerfully, and this is what you call an Eis Ratzon. Okay. Shabbos, of course, the different Mayadin, different times in the day more than others. Okay. For example, morning is a particular Eis Ratzon, the hours before morning, even more so. End of the night. There are places where he manifests himself more strongly. As we come, Makom HaMikdash, this Medrash. You want another Makom Kodesh to take advantage of? Jewish home. A Jewish home with his shalom. Appreciate that. If there's a home that is operating with Kedusha and Shalom Bayis, so write a tzetel, write a petak, write a note, and stick it in your drawer. There are people where Hashem manifests more powerfully. Who's that? What's that? What makes a gadol? The more a person is living with Hashem's ratzon, we don't want to just say, well, there's gedolim and there's us. There's a gradient. The more a person is living with Hashem, the more a person living with Hashem's ratzon, the more manifest Hashem's Shechina is there. And then there are activities that can be going on that bring Hashem. The more, where my name is being discussed, I'll be there, Hashem says. So when there is Hashem-oriented activity, that brings out more presence of Shekhinah. And you know what? What we're discussing now is exactly that point. We're not talking now about times of Ratzon. We're not talking now about places of Ratzon. We're talking about a person who becomes a person of Ratzon. And this is what the Chassidus HaLevavos is instructing us toward. Because the more you move in, and this is where he's going to head soon in a very powerful way, the more you move into this, the way the Kutzker Rebbe said it is, we said before, where is Hashem? We said, well, he's everywhere. It's Kutzker Rebbe said, he is wherever you consider him to be. Meaning, the more you think of him, the more conscious you are of him, the more strongly he'll be there. And therefore, we have Eis Ratzon, we have places of Ratzon. Make yourself a person of Ratzon. Make yourself that gadol. Anyone can do it. There's a million degrees of it. And yes, the people who are the superlatively great people, it's going to be that much more powerful. But put yourself on the spectrum. I shouldn't say it that way. We're all on that spectrum. No, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean that. I meant we are on that spectrum. Move yourself up on that spectrum. Okay. So there's, she asks, what about a person who's going through a particular tzara? You're right. You're bringing up a fifth element, circumstances. And here we have to say that it goes in both directions. A person who's going through a particular tzara. It says, for example, a choler, right? Shechina is right there. When a person is going through a period of feeling that much more hopeless, we should add a little bit more, feeling like they need Hashem that much more, Hashem is there. They were seen to be in an embrace. That's right. They were naturally standing facing each other. At the time when the Shekhinah was departing, those who saw the Kruvim saw them embracing. That's right. It's a very ironic thing. You're bringing out a very poignant point. The Maharal says something very interesting. He says that whenever we have natural crutches that we operate with. Parnassa is a natural crutch. Health is a natural crutch. We have a lot of things that just support us through life, right? The Maharal says that when Hashem takes away a crutch, he fills that void. He draws that much closer. And therefore, he says it's been again to the Gemara of a choyle. Hashem took away a person's health. Know that he's there. So then the Maharal makes an ironically powerful point, and this is what we're getting at. What is the greatest crutch we have in our lives? Shechina being with us. So, man, you're gonna ask me a minute, what exactly does that mean? But the Maharal says the greatest crutch was taken away at the time of the Churban, and therefore Hashem drew that much closer right then. That was a contradiction in terms. Figure it out. Okay? But this is a point the Maharal makes. It's a very powerful and poignant point. But at the same time, we have to stress the other side of the coin. This makes it sound like the ideal is to be in a melancholy state, right? There's something beautiful about that, great about that, pious about that. Appreciate that, yes, Hashem draws very close at Itay Tzara, but appreciate another thing. Simcha. That's another way of bringing the Shekhinah close. You know what the common denominator is? A Shekhinah is closer when you are in a state of consciousness. I guess the way we could say it is when, so if when you're in a tzara, the Shekhinah is close, and when you're besimcha, the Shekhinah is close. What is he not? I guess the answer is when you're just in a state of lackadaisical complacency. Yeah, right.
What did you say the greatest question of our lives is?
The greatest Shekhinah, having Hashem in our lives. So yes, go ahead.
You said there were five items.
Oh, now we broke it
So,
down.
yeah, time, place, circumstance. What are the other two?
We said time, we said place, we said activity,
Absolutely.
meaning you can be doing certain mitzvahs. We said the person himself. I mean, even if the person who's living with Hashem's Ratzon, even if right now you're not doing a particular mitzvah, this person has Shekhinah close to him. And now we added circumstance. Maybe by the time we finish, we'll get to seven or eight. No. Place, yeah, meaning mitzvahs that you're doing bring Hashem to the scene.
And what's the fourth one?
The fourth we said is the person who lives with Hashem, the person who's living in line with Ratzon Hashem, has Shekhinah with them. That's why it also says getting close to a great person is a way of getting close to the Shekhinah in a very physical way. You're drawing close, just like getting close to the Kaiser. We have to appreciate that again, there's an element of that with all of us, and we can step that up. Okay. But we're coming back to the subject here. And that is, we're putting the focus on one of those five right now. We came to five. Maybe the more we talk, maybe we could probably end up discovering six, seven, eight, nine. But right now we mentioned five. But our focus right now is on one of those five, and that is the person attracting Ashras Hashchin. And how do you do that? It's a circle, it's a cycle. The more conscious you are of Hashem's presence, the more powerful Hashem's presence become. You become that much more conscious, Hashem intensifies it that much more, and it's a cycle that just steps itself up. And therefore he says, so if you would realize that you're actually meeting with somebody. If you are meeting with somebody, now this isn't can't really happen, but theoretically, who you knew that they see straight through you, they see your insides, then we would have an easy time if we would actually know that we're meeting somebody who actually sees. So, you would have an easy time making sure that your thoughts are focused, that your consciousness is actually pleasing to them. You know, it's not so unfathomable, but meaning there is such a thing as sometimes you can be in the presence of a person. I'm not talking hocus pocus right now, but sometimes you're in the presence of an extremely, how do you say, perceptive person. Yeah. And you know that. I have a Rebbe who was able to size people up very, very quickly. He actually taught about not doing that. But this was a person who was able to size people up, and there was a certain intimidation in being around him. Right?
Reminding me of a little child and a mother who understands that child in and out, and the child knows that the mother understands
Seeing
the
right through
child.
her. Very good.
And yes, and also that understanding of the parent or that particular mother who really knows maybe more than the child knows what the child is doing or needs to do, is feeling, because children often don't know.
That's a wonderful way of thinking of this. That's right. That's a wonderful way of thinking to be experiencing it in that way. That's right. That's right. Okay. So now, I'm skipping a couple of lines. So now he says, again, he dwells a bit on the mashal of how it would work if we were actually dealing with people like that. But then he goes on and says, So with Hashem, it's that much more appropriate and also that much more obligatory, meaning he's coming from two angles. Like we said before, if you're just seeing a person, you don't owe them anything, but you know that they're focused on you intensely, you're automatically going to adapt yourself, even though you have no moral obligation to do that. It's just you don't want to make a bad impression. So with Hashem, he says you have both elements. First of all, there's that. The creator of the world is looking at you to see what kind of impression you make. And there's also that moral obligation to make yourself presentable for him. So yes, you should make yourself presentable, show yourself to be in his service in your inside. This is, of course, the Chavos great theme, that it's mainly about what's going on inside you. Meaning, what does it mean to serve Hashem in your inside in any given moment? We'll just say one very simple thing. The thought that I want to be pleasing to you now. Just that thought, that's called serving Hashem on your inside. I'm realizing that you're watching me and I want to be presentable. So we want to be making ourselves presentable on our insides, in our heart, and of course in our actual behavior, in our limbs. Because of how he's constantly watching them. And the fact that he's constantly watching them. So we've laid down a very fundamental area of Avodah, which is basically the Avodah of Shivusi Hashem and Negdi Samin, appreciating that we're always in an interactive dynamic with Hashem. Not to be thinking of it just as. So also when we talk about Hashem watching us, so there's that element of like Hashem is up on high, supervising. We want to be thinking of it as an interactive dynamic, meaning I realize that Hashem is watching me and I respond by saying, Hashem, I know you're watching me. I want you to get nachas from me. And then to realize that Hashem is responding to that with a smile. And he's having nachas. And if you could actually then feel the pleasure of that, of the knowledge that right now you're giving him nachas, he responds with more nachas. And this turns into like we said before, a very blessed cycle. I'll end. We're in the middle of developing this point. We're going to take it to the next level next week, Blinette, but I just want to end by throwing something out. This is where the Chavos HaLevavos is taking us, and something that is, I'm going to say this now, even though it's way over my head. But again, like we keep saying, part of the purpose of learning Chavos HaLevavos is to really open up vistas. But there were great people, and I'm talking about great people of our time, so that was a very great consciousness of theirs, was. Present, not just presentability, but to always be active on the inside. Rabbi Yochum Levavitz said, we know about not having the wrong thoughts. But often, and this is a natural state, I think our minds are on just kind of like on screensaver, like when the ball is bouncing back and forth and so on, see that it's just kind of like whatever. And these were people who, and this is what the Chavos HaLevavos is driving us toward, the more you can actually make active accomplishment out of your mind. But Avigdor Miller would say, if you want to try this, do it a minute at a time. Don't say, okay, from now on, I'm going to be focused. Designate a minute. That is very great accomplishment. A minute in the middle of the day of focused consciousness. But there were people who worked on this. Rabbi Yochum Levavitz said, and this is a mind-boggling thing, and I'm saying again, this is just in order to open up horizons that are way above us, but let's expose ourselves. He said that he worked on machshavas betelos, meaning not there's such a thing as idle speech. See, he worked on idle thought, not to have thoughts that are just nothing. But yet there was always a certain consciousness in his mind, a focus. Rabbi Avigdor Miller made a very, very great stress out of having a schedule of thoughts. What am I going to be focusing on at which points in the day? He had his walk, and his famous walk. He walked for about an hour a day. And people might have thought, well, you could have thought one of two things. You could have thought for a man who was so mocked it on his time, every moment was measured to a T, it almost just like he took out the time, he had time in his schedule for an hour walk. That's one thought you might have. Another thought you might have had is that's a great time to talk to him, right, to walk with him as he's walking. So both thoughts were missed, were off. People who wanted to walk with him, he would say, "You're welcome to walk with me, but you can't talk to me. If I talk to you, you can listen." And he would give certain times, but he actually had programs for his walk. One of the highlights of his programs, of course, anybody's a little bit familiar with, was the stopping in front of the fruit and vegetable store. And that was a whole avodah. And then he would start talking to whoever was walking with him, whether it would be of course, there was the apple. Anybody who heard three shiurim heard him go on about the apple, but it extended to the cucumber and to why the potato doesn't have an attractive color. There was Torah in everything. But besides that, he actually had schedules from this street to this street. He had a pasuk of Tehillim. Now, the next day, the next pasuk that he would just focus on. And there was the streets in which he would review a blot of Gemara by heart, etc. It was thought, programmed thought, active inner activity. Okay, so we've opened ourselves up to some very rich chashuva worlds, and we'll see where the Chumash HaLevavos takes this next week, to a very, very great and elevating place.
Women, their lives are like, yes, like there's always somebody interrupting some kid who needs something that has been this. Like, it's not so easy to have like some structured time where you can just think benachas, right? So while you're dealing with all the balls that are just bouncing your way and your whatever, like, is there a thought you can have that will help? Like, I'm doing this for a sham or.
So you gave the answer to the question, you just did, and you could probably elaborate on it more. But you know what? And here I'm actually requesting, I'm going to really try to remember to start next week with that question. But if anybody remembers and can remind me, I can't rely on remembering. But that is a question that deserves the attention. The answer is absolutely yes. And on the contrary, we have to appreciate, it starts with appreciating the significance of that activity. Appreciating that that activity, the significance of that activity, of that flurry, appreciating that it's not just the technicalities of getting through the day and just, working your way toward getting everything settled at night, but that this activity is, the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash were also very, very busy and couldn't just sit and contemplate. But it was an appreciation of the magnitude of what they're doing. And in our case, we're going to say to appreciate the fact that the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash is meant to be a model and a mashal for where it's really at, and that is in our own private lives. So that deserves more elaboration, but we'll leave it at that now. And Bli Neder, we'll see if we can come back to that next week. Okay, we are in the middle of the Cheshbon Asiri. Okay, we're done. I'm going to address two questions in the chat here, but with one question in the chat. I'm just going to end the recording. Okay.